And I don't think Miles Robinson is better than. Well, I don't know if I think Miles Robinson is better than Baki Tabassi. Do you?
That we are underway here at the Dummy Run Podcast, a Minnesota United leaning MLS podcast that may mention the USL from time to time. I'm Austin Kraken, he's Grant Hirschberger, and Minnesota United are undefeated in the 2023 season, just like we all knew would happen.
You know, I gotta say, my initial reaction is the pause between our conversation and you saying "and," it felt like, you know, when you get to the top of like a roller coaster and you've been like ascending for a while, and there's that brief pause where you're like, we're not doing anything, and then you drop. That's how exciting your "and" was on that, and I wish people could feel that, the weight of that gap.
Well, hopefully
that
they do. Hopefully they do.
So dramatic.
That. Yeah.
Well, it's March... not just the "and."
Yeah,
go
it's,
ahead.
It's the build up.
Yeah,
it's March 6th today, Monday, March 6th. So this is after the bye week. So Minnesota is one of the few 1-0 teams. The only 1-0 team that didn't have a game canceled. How did you feel about the opening week, Grant? Opening match?
Interesting, right? Like, I think Dallas is a very solid team. I think that's a game that really could have gone any direction, honestly. I think we had some actually okay opportunities for the first real game without Ray. Because, you know, I mean, you can count scrimmages, but scrimmages are practice. And so, yeah, one game without Reynoso, and did we look perfect? No, absolutely not. But, I don't know, we looked okay. There was plenty to be, I would say, painfully optimistic about, which I think is kind of our brand, you know, painfully optimistic. I think we're real, but sometimes life is painfully optimistic. So what did you think, Alex? How did you feel about the game?
So, leading up to it, we also learned that Amarillo was probably not going to be back. He was still dealing with some green card stuff. DJ Taylor, he had some kind of a tendonitis or tendon situation going on. So that kind of, you know, right away threw a wrench in what we were envisioning for the lineup to be, which ended up being kind of what we thought it might be, other than obviously those two changes. So we had basically a 4-2-3-1. With Garcia instead of Amaria and Valentin instead of DJ Taylor. And then, you know, Lude was obviously moved into the 10. Looking at that, I think I was like not super surprised. At first when the lineup came out, it looked like maybe it was going to be something a little different. But I think in the end, it basically was like what we were used to. I will say, I think that Robin Lude played much higher than Reynoso did. At times, it almost looked like we had two strikers. I'd be interested to see. I wish there was an easier place to find like a heat map of his average position on the field during that first match, because it felt very much like we were playing a two striker system with Robin and Amaria. No, and obviously not Amaria, but Mender up there.
How did you feel, since we're already talking about this, how did you feel about Robin Lude's performance in this game?
Well, I do not think he either didn't play well or we did not do a good job getting him the ball. I think by the end of the game, he had the same amount of touches as Dane St. Clair did. I think I was just looking through the touches, and I wanted to find specifically first half touches, and I couldn't, because I rewatched the game and I was like, I don't remember seeing Robin Lude at all. And sure enough, even though in the second half he got more touches, he ended it with one of the lower touches, you know, of anyone on the field. So I came away with that feeling like either that's not it, or maybe he just had a bad game. Later on in the week, Ian, whatever his name is, Ian Wright or whatever, whoever the front office guy is, was on Sound of Lude podcast, and he said that he thought Robin had one of his worst games he's ever had for Minnesota United. So maybe it was just like he wasn't quite getting the space, and it's not such an issue about around space around him playing that area. But overall, it was not something I was very disappointed in what we were able to get out of Robin, whether that was due to his play or whether that was due to the formation.
Yeah, I mean, like, Foot Mob has him at a, I don't know, 7.1, which I think sometimes those ratings are a nice, like, confirmation of a variety of different things. Sometimes it's the eye test, sometimes it's the stats, sometimes it's both. Also, I don't know. I don't think he played super great either. I think you got to give him a little credit because, I don't know, we're asking a lot of him, right? We're constantly changing his position. He's playing as an 8, he's playing as a 10, playing as a striker, playing as a winger. So, yeah, I don't think he played awesome, but I don't know. I think he'll grow into the position, right? Give him another game. Are we probably going to have him playing at the same spot next game? I would say so. I mean, we still haven't heard anything new from Ray, right? So that's probably where he'll be to start the next game. I would assume next game will have a very similar lineup, or at least the same kind of structure with the main spine intact.
Yeah, and I mean, that was definitely where you started that conversation, is where I kind of was at, assuming, until Ian Fuller, it was who it was for all those of you at home screaming at your radio, Ian Fuller, he was the one that said that he thought Robin had a bad game. Up until that point, I just assumed it was him not playing a position that he's used to or us not finding him. So I don't really know which one of those things I think are more true. But overall, I mean, a pretty good game. I mean, we came out, we made the most of our chances. Something else interesting that they talked about on the broadcast was just like, not only like the stuff with Reynoso and Amaria and, you know, DJ Taylor, and there were some other people who were out and injured. There was also like a snowstorm midweek, obviously, that they then weren't able to practice. So whenever that was, it was earlier in the week. They missed a day of training. Like, all those things leading up to it would have made it very easy to go down there and not get a result and be like, well, whatever, you know, what are you gonna do? And I think, you know, the guys were able to kind of stick it out and come away with a win, which I think is probably better than almost anyone would have anticipated for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those games that, like, it's not pretty. It easily could have been a tie or a loss, and credit to Dallas, they're a good team. But you're thankful for the win, and you kind of go, all right, we got 3 points away early in the season. And those are the kind of games that as you get closer to decision day, you're thankful that you won, you know, like you kind of look back and you're like, oof, you know, first game without Ray, we really could have lost that. I would have been okay with 1 point realistically.
Yeah.
And we got 3, and it's like, all right, look, I'm not going to ask a lot of questions on this one. Is it sustainable? Probably not. And we have to figure out, you know, a lot of different things with this team. But we saw some good stuff. I mean, I think defensively we looked solid with 2 new pieces across the back line. And even that's generous because Kamar Lawrence is still new from last year. We're still, you know, getting used to him. But then also Mickey, you know, to PS, playing center back, and then also on the right side, Zarek Valentin, which I don't know about you. I keep wanting to call him Zach. I know his name isn't Zach, but Zarek is not sticking in my head, to be fair. But I thought both of them played very solidly. How did you feel about the defense?
Yeah, first off, defense. I think we learned that he goes by Mickey, which I think is an all-time, Mickey Tapias, I think is an all-time name. I thought he played well.
Long do you think it'll take before we start the, oh, Mickey, you're so fun, you're so fun.
Not long. I thought he played
really
well.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so. I would say week one.
Yeah.
At home, the home opener. I thought he played really well. I thought, especially defensively, I think he was really sound defensively. He had the one mistake going into halftime where he almost gave up a goal. And there was another yellow card that he got that I felt was kind of, it was silly. It was poor defending. If I'm remembering correctly, the guy was coming down and he just took this really weird aggressive line towards him instead of kind of pushing him outside. And then he got burned with just like a simple touch past him. And he just like kind of pushed the guy over. And it was like, it didn't really need to be that way. And then, yeah, the one big mistake going into halftime.
Now, if I'm remembering that mistake, that was the redemption was that was a good switch between him and Boxall, right? Like, that's the one where he made a mistake and Boxall filled in, and then he tracked back to fill in for Boxall's guy on the right side.
Probably. Am I thinking of the right? I don't remember that specifically, but I mean, based on what I remember of the play, like, that they must have, because the guy was, you know, away on goal. So
there's a distinct defensive sequence that I remember where Mickey made a huge mistake, but then Boxall filled in and he switched really well and came back to guard Boxall's guy. And where I see, yes, you don't want that mistake in the first place. The optimism that I'll take is that, you know, to have chemistry between your two center backs on their first game where that switch can happen and you can communicate and you're not like two guys guarding the same person, or you're hesitating and maybe you don't know if you're supposed to fill in behind. I was happy that switch happened, and you feel good that, like, okay, give him a couple more games and maybe this will be, you know, a nice center back pairing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and that those I had wrote down, he looks nervous on the ball, and that's also where the mistake came from. I believe. So those
things, he's supposed to be good on the ball.
Right. And I think those things will come as he settles in, right? Because that was like his thing, was he's supposed to be good on the ball. And I thought he looked pretty nervous. I thought he actually looked better just in, you know, in defense. So hopefully those things come around. On that broadcast, they mentioned that we've been looking at him since 2019 and that we've tried a few different times around like loans and stuff to bring him in, which I hadn't heard of yet. I didn't know anything about this person before we signed him.
I think it's an important reminder that, like, I see frequently on social media when we have mid-season scrimmages where people will be like, why are we doing this? Oh, this sucks. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, we had a mid-season scrimmage against Pachuca where that's where we saw him, I believe, for the first time. And I don't know if that was the first time we officially scouted him or not, if we already kind of were curious about him. But, like, I think it's an important reminder to us that these mid-season scrimmages aren't just, like, for fun and giggles all the time. Like, there is usually a somewhat targeted purpose, and oftentimes it is against teams that are of a caliber that if there's a player we're interested in, we could realistically and potentially sign them. Yeah. Not every time, but sometimes. And I think that's one more thing to factor in, that, like, this is a in-home scouting situation that we get to do against quality opponents. And it's like, when you think of that, yes, sometimes they come at bad times and it's not ideal, but, you know, you find some kind of diamond in the rough, hypothetically, and here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I was very encouraged with him. And then, you know, Zarek Valentin, right? Not Valentine.
I think it's Valentin.
Yeah, I think Valentin. So too. I thought he was good. I think that, you know, I don't think he beat DJ Taylor out of the starting position. I would expect DJ Taylor to get that back when he is healthy again. But I thought he played well for the most part. I think there's a few things I remember him doing that I was like, well, I wish you hadn't have done that.
Decent chemistry with Bongi already, though.
Yep.
Like, game one.
Well, and he's just such a veteran, too. I mean, I think you gotta, like, it's good to remember that, of what someone like that can do. And what impact that has. So I think, if nothing else, it's good to have him there from that standpoint.
Definitely. Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. And you'll see, you know, how consistent will it be, right? Yeah. Are these guys going to take a step back? Are they going to continue to get better with chemistry? So we'll see. But game one against a good Dallas offense, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Or satisfied, maybe is a better word.
Dallas definitely did not play their best, but, you know, whatever, man. That's how it works. Conversely, Benitez out. That happened before he played and after we recorded. Did this come as a big surprise to you? Before the game, you and I were talking about whether or not there was a place he could fit into the starting 11. You know, we touched on the fact that Minnesota United didn't really seem to be interested in him playing like a right wing system. So did this surprise you?
I mean, a little bit, right? Like, I still understand. And I think maybe there's a part of it where maybe he didn't feel like he was going to be used consistently as a starter, and so he requested. I mean, who knows what happened in the back rooms, right, where he's talking to the coaching staff. But if he doesn't feel like he's being used consistently and requests a transfer, maybe that's kind of the situation. I felt like offensively, he was definitely the Metinier type. He definitely was not defensively the Metinier type. And so I think maybe that's part of where, okay, if we're not going to play three center backs, we need our fullbacks to get all the way, you know, fully back. So I get that. It's just a shame because I thought he was if we played in a system that used wingbacks, I thought he would be a really good wingback. Or, and this is probably something he wasn't interested in, but if we needed a winger substitute to play a defensive winger role, I mean, he would have been phenomenal. You know, as a late game, close the game out, you pop him in at right wing, and he's going to play very admirable defense and then still offer a lot going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, him moving on didn't surprise me. Obviously, I think we've kind of documented, you know, in our last podcast, like where we could see him fitting, and we struggled. Mm-hmm. It definitely goes down as, I mean, it's a very like Unu-esque signing where it's like, why did we get this guy? Like he obviously isn't the right fit for our system. And I mean, yeah, we did sign him after Metinier went down. I think that him and Amaria had some paths crossed at some point. So maybe Amaria was like, yeah, you know, he's solid. He was available. Let's just get him for now. So I guess I will give them that. But it's just, it always felt like a square peg in a round hole. And I don't know why that happens sometimes.
It is very confusing because I think for the most part, this, you know, coaching and scouting staff has like a structure for what we're looking for. It seems pretty directed. And I guess, you know, maybe some of it is just how people do or don't pan out. So, you know, maybe you look at Unu and you think, all right, you know, he's a quality striker. He's playing in Ligue 1. Maybe he can be a solo striker, and you try it and you're like, well, no. I mean, he kind of wants to combine with somebody else. And then you look at a guy like, you know, I'm assuming Amaria maybe put a word in for Benitez, and you're like, okay, this guy, he can play wingback. Maybe he can play defensively in a fullback system. And you try it out and you're like, eh, no, not really either.
Yeah.
I mean, we got him on a free transfer. Right. So at least in that sense, I have no problem that we tried it and we're like, eh, it didn't work.
Yeah. He's a very good player, right? Like, I don't think anyone's saying like he wasn't good. Very good player.
He just wasn't
him. Yeah, we saw him offensively show some very good things, but we also saw him very, you know, a couple of huge mistakes defensively. That one where he just was simply uninterested in defending. I don't know which game it was. It was probably the game. It was probably like a Colorado game because Colorado games always feel like that happens.
But it was probably a soccer game.
It was just very clearly like, I'm not interested in running back and covering this guy. And then we got scored on, and Boxall was like screaming at him, and it was like it wasn't.
He's like, let the third center back get him.
Yeah, it was like, not a miscommunication. No. It was like, I'm not going to do that. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, interesting. We tried it out. I do like that we're just like, all right, let's not pretend like this is going to work out. Like, you go on your way, we'll go on our way.
No need to use an international position,
right?
You know, spot.
Right. And some pretty good cash, too. I mean, I forgot. I didn't realize how much he was being paid. When you were talking, you know, talking about the right back situation there, we definitely touched on Bongi. What did you think of Bongi's performance in week one?
I think he's still like a diamond in the rough. I think there's very interesting and exciting things he does. He's definitely willing to try stuff. He has the, I think, skill and the ability to do a lot. I think he's still learning. And I think to me, the stuff that I see is that he's a willing learner. He's an intelligent kid, and I think that he is going to grow into this position. But it's important to realize how young he is, right? He's very rough. He still makes wild choices. Like, I sent Alex a screenshot of him taking that shot from, like, way outside the box.
It was way outside.
It wasn't like a hard shot or in the air in the corner. It was just like a shot where you're like, there's no, you're not even testing the goalie. Like, don't take that shot. But I think, like, to look at Bongi, I think it makes sense why we're still seeking potentially maybe a true starting winger, because he is a player that, in my opinion, give him two more years to develop in substitution roles, or maybe even just one more year, to, you know, judging by how quick he's learning, and he'll be a good player for you. But, like, right now, he's fine. I think he's just still learning, and I think we have a standard that we want to keep getting better, obviously. So I don't want to sound like I'm insulting him. I really like him. I think he's one for the future. But, you know, he's just raw. He's very raw.
Yeah. Yeah, that was in the I just looked up your screenshot. It was in the 53rd minute, if you want to go back and watch that for yourself.
How far out would you say that is?
Oh, my gosh. It is
30, 40 yards.
It's probably equally as close to the halfway as it is to the 18. And even just in his the screenshot you sent, he's like mid shot. And even like his body like structure, you can tell that shot is not going to do anything other than just like squib into the goal. So, yeah, little things like that, a little, you know, wrong place, wrong time, maybe. But to your point about being a willing learner, another person I would love to see the heat map on, because I think he got instruction to stay back more this match, given our strategy and, you know, where we're at with our midfield and whatever else. He played much deeper, and I think defensively he had a fantastic game. Some of our offensive decision making was still a little lacking. But again, I think we know that, which I think is why we need to bring in, if nothing else, someone to be pushing him for that position. Because right now we don't really have anyone who's going to push him at right wing, as long as Robin Lute is needed elsewhere. Which
yeah, like decision making is something he's developing in. But like the fact that he is willing to completely try defensively.
Yep.
And like he'll bust his ass like trying to get back, and that's the stuff where it's like, I'll take that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, another promising youngster that I want to bring up, Rosales. Rosales came in for Fragapane, I think. And I thought he played him and Bongi were two I wrote down as like, it felt like they took a little bit of a step backwards. I wasn't super impressed with either of them. And I think that more so goes to how impressive I felt they were last year. So did Rosales stand out to you at all as you watch back?
I don't think he's a winger. I think the games that we've seen him put a shift in at wing, I think he's not really comfortable with that role necessarily. Precisely because I think he's more of a pass connector. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's necessarily... This is totally the eye test, and stats may... We might have to get stats by Stefan to take a look for us. But I don't feel like he's a dribbler. You know, I feel like when I've seen Rosales at his best, he is positioning himself to always be open for a teammate on the ball. And then when he gets a pass, he's looking to dish it out pretty quickly. I don't really see like him trying to take people one-on-one much. And when he does it, it's not super successful. And so I think when he's in those winger roles, he doesn't do super well.
Yeah, I actually really liked the subs we made. I felt like they were all kind of in like a weird position. Like, so it was like Dotson came on for Mender Garcia, I think was the first sub we made. And I mean, first off, great to see Dotson back. I had no idea that he was actually that far along. He came on in the 63rd minute for Mender. Great to see Dotson back in again, obviously. But he came on for Mender, who first off I felt like was very dangerous and was like kind of creating chances. He was running at their back line. And I felt like he was kind of on a roll, so I kind of wanted to see him stick in there. And then he just kind of did a straight swap where then Dotson was like playing in like a striker role almost for the rest of the game, like it seemed. He didn't switch, you know, Bongi up or something like that, which I was kind of confused by. And then kind of the same thing with Rosales. He put Rosales in again, stuck him at left wing when he took Fragapane on and didn't really mess with that. And then when Tani came on for Lude, in basically the 90th minute. I actually don't remember. I'm assuming they finally flip-flopped. But kind of weird that I would have thought like he would have taken someone else off first and kind of redid the formation a bit, but he just did straight swaps from what I could tell.
Yeah.
Even though the players didn't really make sense for that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting, like you're saying, I would love to see a heat map. We gotta look some of this stuff up, but we're never gonna.
I
But
tried
I
to, for what it's
feel
worth. I couldn't find any
okay.
like good place to actually get like that level of detail without paying for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do. Blake is willing to let us use his Y Scout, so we should probably take advantage of that too. Thank you, Blake. Shout out Siam007. So we should probably use that maybe next time. But I think it maybe speaks to a different approach from Heath defensively, that we are going to continue to press from the front when we have a lead, you know? And so, like, great. I would rather do that than sit back a ton because, you know, if you invite a lot of those shots, things tend to go poorly. After our goal in the, you know, 40 something 50th minute, Dallas has a few additional chances, but not nearly quite to the level that they did in the first half. So we mitigated, I think, a pretty decent amount. So I don't know. I don't know necessarily how I feel about the swaps, but again, we're asking people to do some new things, and I think the players responded really well to it. How we kind of set them up, even if it's not always in their preferred position. Speaking of which, you met. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, speaking of Mender,
Yeah.
curious how you thought he did overall, but I think you have to start by addressing the elephant in the room. Was that a dog so on his breakaway goal?
100%
Think
without. I
so? A hundred
mean,
percent?
yeah, nobody's gonna listen to us because, of course, we're Loons fans, right? But,
Well,
like, the fact that they were tr the refereeing committee was trying to say, well, he did get the ball. Well, it doesn't matter. You went from behind the player, still caught the player first, and then got the ball. That doesn't count. You can't go through someone's ankle to get the ball from behind. That's
I disagree
deniable.
with that. That's not what happened. He put his foot in front of Mender Garcia's kicking foot, and when Mender went to go kick the ball, the defender's foot was in the way.
So then he tripped him.
Sure, you can say that. If you want to say he
Okay,
tripped him,
so
I will listen to that more openly than I would listen to.
So I mean, yeah, we're removed from the game, so I probably made up a fake situation in my head. But I mean, he's still. Now I feel bad. I don't listen to me. Nobody listen to me because now I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you're
But
right.
now
It
he's tripping. He's tripping him
I
from
struggle
a.
with it. I watched it again and again and again because I don't love the idea that you maintain possession until someone else touches it. That's basically what you're saying. Is that like if you're on a full on, in my opinion, if you're on a full on sprint, you are basically losing possession every time you dribble. Like every time you kick the ball and it goes more than whatever, 3 yards, I think you like momentarily lose possession. And so
Sure, yep.
if he's dribbling down the field and he kicks it, whatever it is, 5 yards ahead of him, and the defender beats him to that spot, I don't think it should be a foul if then he goes to take the shot and hits the defender, whether or not he touched it or not. Like at that point, you've turned it into a 50-50 ball and he beat you there. Whether or not he touched it next, I don't think in that situation, I did not feel outraged that we didn't get the call because I feel like I get what the refs were saying. Like, you kicked it to a point that you lost possession, and then in that moment he gained possession. And I don't know the rules well enough to say like, I mean, I'm sure they are written like if he didn't touch it, and they kept saying they felt like he touched it. But I feel like what they're really saying is like he was in a position where he had just as much right to be there as you did.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now as you're talking, and
At least you get what I'm saying.
yeah, no,
And
I
if the call
totally
on the
do. I
field is
totally.
no penalty, they're not going to look at that and overturn it.
Yeah, and I'll say this much, as much as, you know, I like to hyperbolize and exaggerate. Yeah, I totally get that, like saying 100%, you know, it's dramatic, right? But and I get what you're saying too, right? You do lose possession of the ball when you're doing long strides trying to, you know, maintain distance from a player. I guess I just rewatching the clip right now, I still think he comes behind, you know, Mender. He still gets more of Mender than the ball, and it's a clear challenge on Mender more than the ball necessarily. I shouldn't even say clear because it's objective. But what I do agree with is if you're not going to call that on the field, there's I agree with this. there's not enough to switch it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that you can call it clear and obvious. So when I say 100%, I know that that's very dramatic. I personally believe, yeah, that's callable. But if you saw that live, I don't think anything in the replay makes you go, yeah, wow, you should have called it.
Right.
It's just, you either saw it live and you thought it was one thing or the other. And then from there, it's not, there's not a lot more you can do by slowing it down that's going to mm-hmm. add more, like, wow, this ref just wasn't looking in the right direction and somebody got an elbow to the face or something. It's not that simple. So,
yeah,
I get it. If you call
it
one way...
Even when it sucks, I'm always going to argue for less re-officiating.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like I've been trying to die on this hill of the offside rule going to digital, and we've obviously seen it now, and I think it's terrible. So I just...
It's how we first bonded, Alex. That's how you and I first bonded, was the issue of if you can't tell live... You're not getting an advantage from offside.
The digital thing at the World Cup, I think, was just so dumb.
When it's like the tiniest bit of someone's elbow,
like, you can't tell me that's why they scored a goal. Like, that's
there's
not,
no way.
That's not an advantage that they gain by being in that position. It just isn't. Whatever. Okay, so we've gotten through that. But overall, what did you think of Mender's performance?
I thought it was good. I think. I still believe that probably Luis Samaria steps into the starting lineup maybe next game.
Not this next one, like the following?
Or
the home opener?
Most recent. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
That's the one. I still think like he's the guy that offers the most variation. And I think Luis Samaria is a slightly more goal-scoring Unu. And what I mean by that is, like, Unu and Amaria both do a good job of wanting to combine.
Yeah.
And they're not always, like, the killer striker. I think Mender Garcia is I have blinders to everything except the goal. If he gets the ball, he wants to shoot it. And I respect that kind of striker. You need that kind of guy. But I also think Amaria is the guy who... for better or for worse, same with Hunu, when he gets the ball, he's thinking, should I pass it? Should I shoot it? Mm-hmm. And sometimes he'll shoot it, sometimes he'll pass it, and sometimes it's the right choice, sometimes it's the wrong choice. But he's multifaceted, and I think that's the player you want to start the game with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the right thing.
Yeah, I think, I still think no other factors in play. I think it's probably Amaria's job, but now I almost wonder if we're going to have kind of a Dane St. Clair, Tyler Miller situation where, you know, Mender looked good week one, and, you know, for reasons I'm sure that the club asked him to do, Amaria was away. And now going into week two, you know, do you switch that back, or do you say Mender looked good, he scored one goal, was close on the second, like, we're going to roll with him. And if he keeps going, you know, how does Amaria ever kind of dethrone him, which... would be a great problem to have, the idea of a striker in such form that the person behind them can't get on the field. Definitely not.
But thankfully, it's much more common to sub out your striker than it is your
for
goalie.
Sure. For
right?
sure.
And we subbed Hassani on for Mender in the 63rd minute, which we're not always going to be trying to defend a lead away from home in the same manner. But like, if we're subbing off Mender in the 63rd for Hassani, I could see a world in which, whether it's Mender for Amaria or Amaria for Mender, you know, Heath is going to give one of the strikers, the substitute striker, 30 minutes in the background, you know, to play a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, good problems to have. I think I'm excited to see what Amaria looks like this year because I haven't seen him yet. But again, I think Mender looked good, and to your point, I really like having someone who's just like, he's always looking to make the run, he's looking to shoot. The goal, we haven't really talked about the goal. Like, first off, a great play from Arriaga, who we talked about going into the week, and then he performed, making us look very smart. He plays a ball in, Mender fights for position and chests it back to Franco. So good play there from Mender, kind
good
of hold
play
up
there.
Play. Chests it back to Franco, who obviously, you know, we don't need to talk about his strike. That was phenomenal. But Mender, I think, was the only one on the field who, as soon as he had his chested back, he spun off the defender and was running at goal. I don't think any other defenders or any other Minnesota United players did that. And that's something that, you know, Those are the types of things that will get you, you know, 5 goals a year, just doing those small things.
You know who I thought of immediately when it happened was Robin Lud.
Yeah.
Because especially Robin Lud's second year with us, where he started getting some of those goals. And honestly, even his first year, even when he was missing goals from the left wing, he was always the dude crashing the net. And literally, you can get, call it garbage goals, call it whatever you want, but like, you can get clean up goals just crash the net.
Yeah, people make a living doing that. Look at some of the best, you know, quote unquote strikers, you know, whatever, call it fox in the box, call it what you want. Like, people know how to put themselves in the right position, and then the finish looks simple, but it's because you got yourself out there.
So I thought Mender did a great job. I mean, his positioning, like I said, he looked goal dangerous through a lot of it. I think it'll be interesting to see Amaria play. But honestly, none of this matters to me, Alex, if we continue to do the black jerseys, white shorts with the opposing team doing white jersey, black shorts. Because I saw that right away, and I was like, I might not watch this game.
It was really bad.
Dude, that was awful. That was I don't know who approved that, but that's like... Well,
it's a rule, apparently. So Dallas's kits are apparently just white with black bottoms. Like, that is like, that's the new kit, is a white shirt with black bottoms. And apparently you're not allowed to have the same color shorts as the other team.
No
way.
That's
like a rule. So now we had to wear, which I don't think on its own the mixture would have been as bad, but the trim was different. So like the black kit has blue trim, and the white kit has black trim.
See, it's not about the overall look of our team. It's the viewership aspect of it, where it's bad. Like, no, you legitimately have to view that and make a game time. And I understand you're saying there's a rule and I believe you, but it's like, you got to look at that and somebody goes, okay, one of you has to switch your shorts.
Yeah.
And if you had everyone has black shorts and there's black jersey versus white jersey, great. Like, that's very easy to differentiate. But this whole flip-flop thing was, like, painful to look at.
And I don't know if they also just didn't want to, like, debut the new kit away. And maybe, like, that's why they didn't, like, held on to it for the home opener.
Maybe. But that would have been... But that would have been too similar even... Well, maybe not.
Because that would have been white. That also would have been white and black.
White and black, yeah. It's weird. It's weird. A poor choice. That I don't know why you wouldn't let Minnesota just do their black shorts with their black kit.
Yeah, right. The idea being that the shorts being the same color would confuse people is what...
Yeah, it doesn't matter, the shorts. Yeah. The shorts don't matter. Whatever.
I don't know,
hips don't lie, shorts don't matter.
Hips don't lie, shorts don't lie.
You were talking about us being right about Kervin. Because Kervin, I thought, looked healthy, like we were saying. And when he was healthy... I mean, that dude is rangy. He's fast.
Yep.
He had some really nice passes, and he had a phenomenal free kick.
Yeah. Yeah. All those things.
All the things. Yeah. Everything.
And at the end of the year, everyone's going to be talking about how good he was, and then we're going to say, we've known this for a long time. You should have been paying particular attention. And then they're going to go, oh, we knew about it. And I'm going to say, no, you didn't. Talk about the extra time guy, specifically Matt Doyle. Matt Doyle is going to be like, oh, yeah, I knew who he was. And I'm like, I don't think you did.
Yeah, duh, I know Kervin Arriaga. He's actively Googling, the player. He's a 26-year-old from Puerto Cortez, Honduras. Actually, he's 25.
Yeah.
25. He played really well. I thought Trapp was, he was...
He apparently got injured today in training. Did you see that?
Oh, what happened?
He broke a rib, apparently.
What? Oh.
Yeah, he cracked rib. I don't know what that means. I know what that means.
Well, it's when your rib breaks. Yeah,
thank you.
You know.
I don't know if that means he won't be playing for a significant amount of time, but yes, he apparently hurt himself in training, and they think he cracked a rib.
Oh, boy.
So that could be interesting.
Well, not good. I think Trapp has had... better games than this Dallas game, so I don't think it's like the standard that I'm I'm not high or low on Trapp. I think I'm pretty neutral. I think he's a very solid player, and you need that kind of person on your team. So it is certainly from a player and team and person perspective, unfortunate. I hope he gets better healthy soon. Better healthy, you know.
But maybe we're getting sponsored by Better Health. Maybe that's the door for, you know, maybe that's the door that Dotson needs, you know.
Yeah, Rosales, Dotson. There's still we got a couple of players in the midfield.
Yeah, Trapp is always one for me that I miss. I like more when he doesn't play. You know, like when he's not out there, I'm like, oh, now I kind of see more what he was doing when he was playing. You know, he doesn't.
He's jump an out intangibles to you. Kind of guy.
Yeah, he doesn't jump out to you when you're watching a game he's playing, and then when you're watching a game he's not playing, you're like, why isn't there anyone there? And it's like, oh, because that's usually where Trapp would be. And now you've got like Rosales out there, and he got caught too high up or something. You know,
because he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Yeah, I'll save you the bleep, but
so that'll be interesting. I mean, if Dotson comes in, or if we said Rosales is that, if Trapp indeed can't play for a while. Last kind of programming note is that we saw Tani come in like the 90th minute. We did not see Weah come in. You gonna read into that, or are you gonna let it slide?
Not for this game. I think Weah is a player who, when we've seen him play, he has not necessarily been the most defensively minded player. I think he's looked very electric in the few times we've seen him offensively. But no, he's not a player I would put on that I trust to necessarily play defensively. If we're chasing a goal, we need some fresh legs. He's a guy where you could totally Hail Mary, you know, a little situation there. But I was listening to, before the game, a Heath interview where he was saying we have to be more intentional about showing our young players, our youth players, a direct route to the first team. And it seems like game one, you know, Tani gets put in, even if it's very close to the end of the game. You got like 2 minutes, but it's something, right? It's a start to the process, and you can start to build on those appearances.
Yeah. So with that, then, we've talked about a lot of different people. Who do you think we roll out next week, starting 11?
Okay.
Or this week, rather.
I think it's Franco Amaria, Bongi. I think it's Lude, Dotson, Arriaga. I think it's... I don't know how bad the tendonitis is, so I'm going to play it safe and say Kamar Lawrence, Miki Tapias, Michael Boxall, and then still Zarek Valentin. And then, surprise, surprise, I think it's Dane St. Clair in goal. And not Eric Dick, unfortunately.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think I have any... I think Mena Garcia starts instead of Amaria. But other than that, I think I agree with you wholeheartedly across the whole back line.
You know who I want to see, hopefully, next game? As a sub, I would like to see a Cameron Dunbar experience.
Yeah, I think
a little.
I think he is. I think if we're tied or losing, Dunbar for sure comes in that game. I think he's a more attacking sub.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting just to see what he. I don't really know a ton about him, so I just kind of want to see, like, especially game experience. So yeah.
All right. Anything else on last week? I heard a stat that we are 5-0 when we have less than 40% of the possession, which is crazy to me. When that we haven't going back to like our 2017 season, apparently we haven't like lost when we've had less than 40% of the possession.
Huh.
I almost don't know if I believe that, especially with how quickly the person was able to come up with it. It was on Loon Talk, and they were able to get it very quickly. But I don't know. I like some other reason you to can think get... that's not accurate.
You can get a lot of great stats quickly when you make them up. So, you know. Yeah, we actually win 90% of the games where we have 11 players on the field, but minus, you know, I don't even know where I'm going with this.
That's all right.
Failed,
you tried.
Failed joke. I tried. I did. And that's what matters. No, you can make stuff up. You know, here's my favorite, by the way. When people will reference, like, team-to-team matchups that have, like, historic stats that, like, really don't make a difference on the current team. Like, you know, people will talk about, like, Minnesota... I'm going to use, like, an older team. Like, Columbus Crew versus DC United. Any time that Columbus Crew has gone up 1-0 against DC United, they've won all the games. And that'll be from like years ago. And you're like, well, these are 100% different teams on the field right now. Like, that's neat. That's interesting. And sure, bring it up. But like, what, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those interesting things that people bring up where you're like, that doesn't make any difference. Like, I'm not going to place my bets based on that. I don't bet, by the way. I'm just not a gambler. I don't even set my MLS fantasy lineups, you know?
Did you already miss a week?
I missed a week.
Oh my God.
I missed
God.
1 week. Yeah, great start, I know, bud. I know.
Great start.
Yeah, I know, I know.
All right, let's move into our buy-sell. We're going to do a buy-sell segment here. So we're both huge tech huge finance bros, as you obviously know. Yep. Not actually. I don't actually know anything. I've never bought stock before. Do you own any stock?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're
nothing
a finance
super.
Bro.
I'm not really. I do own some Patagonia vests, but you know, don't hold that against me.
All right. So what we're gonna do is we're just gonna buy or sell things that we think are going well or poorly. So do you want me to start, Grant, or would you like to start?
I will start.
Okay.
One thing I would like to say is, listeners, when we post this, we would love to know, who are you buying, who are you selling? Okay?
Yes.
So...
Also,
and
this should not be considered financial advice. All investments can and should be considered open to loss. I'm trying to think like what the Robin Hood disclaimer is.
Yeah, right? Thing, obviously. Yeah. Transactions cannot be made through Twitter responses. Okay, so... Even though I think his stock would be high priced, I think it's getting higher. I'm buying Kervin Arriaga stock. I'm going to go ahead and buy Kervin Arriaga stock. So I'm going to
We already have a lot. We're getting like that 50% threshold.
Yep. I'm going to do 3 buys, 2 sells.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy, because I think it's a good value purchase, I'm going to buy... Zerick Valentin stock, because I think as a 31-year-old, right, it's a little bit low, but I think he's gonna continue to contribute for us. And this first game, I was pleasantly surprised. And then I'm also going to buy Luis Amaria stock.
Okay.
I think this is a stock that people are, you know, it's I struggle to make a good comparison. It's stock that's been up, it's been down. I think we're going back up. It's a good time to buy early before he comes on and scores his first goal. So I'm saying, and we should track this, by the way. Are you writing this down?
I'm writing down mine, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to write mine. So I said, Kervin, Valentin, and I said, Amaria. And those are my buys. So buys on those. I'm going to say sell. Well, Will Trapp doesn't count as a sell, sadly. I'm going to say sell on Bongi only because...
You're selling Bongi stock.
I'm selling Bongi stock okay. only because I think we're still chasing a winger starter, a DP winger
yeah.
starter. Yep. And then I'm also going to sell... This is tough. Financially, there's not a lot of these that would make sense. But I'm going to sell... This is maybe sacrilege, but Hassani Dotson stock.
Mm.
And I'll explain why. I think Hassani Dotson is an immensely talented player. I think both the combination of how we have played him and the U.S. men's national team when he's made appearances. He's played too many roles. I don't think he has a specialty, and I think that eventually becomes a detriment. Like, you want a general flexibility where you can play, I don't know, across the front three or across the midfield or whatever, right? It's nice when your center back can play left back, but I think he's played so many positions, and Robin Lud is facing this a little bit too, where it's almost to your detriment and you never really develop. Robin Lou's 29, so he doesn't need to develop. But Hassani, I mean, you're 25. at some point you got to pick your position and hopefully ask your coaches to try to stick you there. So I'd say Dotson. Who did I say before? What was my other sell?
You sold Bongi stock.
Yeah, I sold Bongi stock, which, mm-hmm. by the way, I want to make clear when it comes to these buy sells, it is not because I don't think these players are talented or quality or that I don't like them.
You're just trying to wait on demand.
We're bringing in another winger, I think.
Yeah.
And so I'm selling the Bongi stock because
You're not selling Bongi. You're just selling your stock in Bongi because the price is going to go down.
And I'll buy it back next year.
Right.
You know, when it dips on the low, I'm buying it back.
Okay.
All right, give me three buys, two sells.
I came to five, but it was a little hard to get there. So
that's what 3 + 2 equals is 5. Yeah.
Well, no, but I don't have 3 buy. I have 4 buy. I'm buying Apple. I thought week one was fantastic. I didn't get to watch much of week two because I was out all Saturday, which it does make me sad. I'm going to miss being able to watch more of the games, but I think you just have
hold on. You get to make buy sells of that kind of a thing. I thought,
oh yeah, you can buy sell whatever you want to.
Oh, okay. I want to do mine over.
All right. Well, you think about it and see if there's anything else you want to add.
Fine.
I'm buying Apple. I thought the week one was great. Again, like I was saying, I am going to miss being able to watch more of the games because I'm a sicko who will watch, like, you know, 5 matches if I have the ability to. But I think when you think about the general public, having the games consistently is better for the league, and people will know when to expect them. So while I'm a little bummed on that, I think overall the Apple TV thing was great. I thought it's funny, there was like that picture floating around Twitter of like the Apple TV set versus like that sad display that, like, was it Fox Sports set up where like it was like the little DoorDash logo behind them and it was still all like creased from when they shipped it. If you haven't seen the picture, it's hilarious. I'm buying more stock in my boy Schaffelberg.
I'm going to pause you before you switch off the Apple thing. Okay. I think what will hurt your Apple stock, because, you know, now I'm learning that we're allowed to do things other than players. What will hurt your Apple stock is Apple still has not figured out, even though you can hide the scores of games you haven't watched yet, you still sometimes will see highlights of goals when you're trying to, you know, watch games that have already happened. And people have made some complaints to Apple. We'll see if Apple fixes this. But that is potentially, you know, why rewatch a game when you already see, you know, goal, 90th minute, so-and-so. Like, okay, well, I know that, you know, this team wins or loses. Additionally, the announcers. I don't know what Dallas names they may have butchered, but they struggled with the Minnesota names.
Yeah.
Like, they really could not figure out. There were so many poorly. Oh, but it was
bad. Week one.
I don't think it's too much to ask for. So a little bit of backstory. I used to be a speech coach for Minnesota Speech. And there's, you know, people with all sorts of different types of last names. And one of the things that we did out of respect was ask different, you know, if a player was going to win an award and we were going to say their name on stage, we would ask their team, their school, the coach of their school, like, how do you pronounce this person's name? Because it takes 2 seconds to learn if you're going to be the official announcer of a thing and you're saying it in front of a bunch of people. Now, I say this realizing that we mess up names, and I get that, but I am not an Apple-paid person. I make zero money off this podcast. I deserve to make zero money off this podcast, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like, if you are a professional announcer and you're doing research on their school and what teams they played before, maybe a little phonetic pronunciation guide at the bottom might be beneficial.
Do you need a hand? Do you need a hand getting off your soapbox, or are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. I'll hop down.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Back to my list.
Okay.
I'm buying Schaffelberg stock. My dude, I wrote this list in week one after he scored a goal. I don't think he scored last week, but I still love that guy. Said we should have gotten him. Best hair in MLS now that the guy for the Red Bulls cut his hair.
Wait, is this not Minnesota related?
No, it's not anything.
Good.
You can buy whatever you want to,
listeners,
man.
Listeners, I would like you to know that Alex did not.
Dude, I go back and check them. I will post a screenshot. I said, I was thinking we could do like buy, sell. And you were like, oh, great, like just Minnesota stuff. And I was like, whatever, I might buy Apple. And you went, oh, okay. We literally
I thought that was a joke. I thought that was a joke. Like, yeah. I might buy Apple. Like, I might do anything.
Next thing, I'm buying Mickey Tapia stock. He impressed me. I think he's going to end up being, I said before he even played, I think he's someone we could look back on and say, like, we should have been more excited. I'm buying Mickey Tapias. All right?
Okay.
And the last thing I'm buying is Yapi, this dude who plays for Colorado. He's like a striker for Colorado. He's come up through their system.
I like his name already.
Buying the Yapi stock. He is American internet. He's American as well. So he could potentially, you know, 2026 striker. But that's not an investment I'm expecting to pay off. That's just because I think it's very low right now. So, conversely, I'm selling Colorado stock. I don't think I had a lot of stock to sell in Colorado, but they look to be a mess, and I honestly have no idea what they're gonna do this year.
Yeah. Okay. So, listeners, you give your buy sells. They don't have to be Minnesota United players.
You can do whatever you want to.
You can do whatever you want, as Alex says. You could buy Apple if you want to buy Apple. Which, by the way, Apple stock I feel like would be very high. So, good luck having that increase. Going on.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Good job.
I'm buying the MLS specific Apple stock.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So for next time, just remember that. All right.
Lesson learned.
All right. I had one other thing on my list. Two other things on my list.
Wait.
First off,
I'm gonna buy Reynoso stock.
Well, it seems like it's probably pretty cheap right now.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not a bad play.
That's what I'm saying. And I think, I don't have any information on this. This is just a gut feeling. I think this is hope. This is the kind of stock you buy.
The amount of setup you're doing before you even speak these words just says how bad it's about to be.
I just know this is the kind of stock you buy that you're like, Bitcoin's going to be Bitcoin. It'd be something else. But like, this is going to be a hit. And then you put all your like life savings into it and it just sinks you. But I think Reynoso, when he comes back, could be very motivated to play well.
Okay.
You know what? I take it back. I'm
you
saying it out loud.
Bought the stock,
honestly,
so.
Did I buy? All right, I'm writing it so. Down. I bought.
And I think honestly, I'm starting to get very bleak on that whole situation. Just because I think if they knew anything, they would be spinning it to like, you know, our thoughts are with Ray as he works through this tough time. You know, they'd be kind of positioning it as, you know, a it's okay to not be okay type mental health message. And the fact that they're not saying anything like that makes me think, like, they just honestly don't have any idea where he is, which is a lot different than what I used to think.
I think they know, like, where he is. I think I was listening to Loon's talk, and I got a little bit annoyed at, I think it was Dan's commentary that, like, maybe it was a joke that he was just beating to death, which, you know, I've done the same thing. But they know... They know where he is. I mean, he's in Argentina. It's not like they literally can't find him. But like, yes, communication is not great. I don't know. I don't know why that annoyed me specifically. Yeah. But it's. Like,
I actually turned that one off. They were annoying me a lot on that episode.
They got
like
a little bit.
This one, they got a little. Yeah.
It was a little too much, and it's like, yes, it is interesting and sad and weird. What is going on with Reynoso? I don't think they were talking about like. Oh, like how in the world with cell phones do you not know where the guy is? They know where he is. They've literally gotten texts from him. It's just he is currently doing something weird and confusing and we don't understand that. But that's not to say that like, yes, if they literally thought he had disappeared off the face of the earth, I think this would be a different situation where they would be much more concerned. Right now it's more of just a
Or if they were confusing... getting communication from him about something. Work. I think the silence means they generally like they talk to his family a bit and they know he's like there but he's not communicating very well around next steps. All right. Did you see the back pass to the St. Louis City player in week one?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did you what do you think about it? Did you see that he called for the ball?
Yes. And they were former teammates, right?
Yep. Do you have an issue with that? I was going to write this down as was in my cell. I was going to sell this, but I was like, that doesn't really make sense. So I'm just bringing it up now.
Do I have issue with it? Yes, I have issue with it, but also to me, that's a too bad, so sad. Yeah. Like that's, I would say unsportsmanlike.
Right.
From the St. Louis player, of course. But also, I don't think anything should be changed. I don't think that should be like a you know, disallowed goal or anything. If you don't look up, because hypothetically, Alex, hypothetically.
And it is a rule. Technically, you're not allowed to call for the ball, I believe. Technically.
But even that, to me, feels like boo-hoo, cry me a river. Like,
right.
if I'm a Portland Timbers player and you're Seattle Sounders player, and just for no reason I say, Alex, pass me the ball, and you don't look up and you just pass it to me, that's your own problem. That is your own problem. I don't know why you didn't look up. As a player, you should be watching where you either know where your teammates are or you know where to expect them or whatever, but like, I have zero sympathy for, not St. Louis City, who are they playing? Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Austin. Zero sympathy. You look where you're passing. If you can't give a glance, I don't care who said it. I don't care that they were a former teammate. Is that annoying? Yes. Is that unsportsmanlike? I think it is, but should anything be changed? Absolutely not. You made a dumb choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where I landed too. And actually, I thought the extra time guys kind of summed it up well. They were saying, like, it's not something I expect the refs to make a big deal of, but I was surprised that Austin didn't do more to show their dissatisfaction with that move. I would think that would be something where the next time, you know, that guy touched the ball, he had a very strong tackle coming his way type of thing. It's shitty.
See, on field punishment, I can
right,
see that.
Right. It's not something I expect. I think it was a little shitty, you know, a little unsportsmanlike. But, you know, whatever. If that's your thing, go for it. Honestly, he might have even been a little surprised that he actually passed it to him, you know?
And also, look up.
Yeah.
You
know, there was the video of circulating around Reddit or Twitter of which one of our guys was it? One of the guys who went, he didn't realize that the ball had been thrown back to their team because his team kicked it out. It was in like the Scottish Premier League or something. And then he went down and scored. And then so they let him come. They let
Daryl DK. Or no.
No, it was one of the other guys who's playing in like a lower level league though.
He's the Rangers guy.
Yep.
Yep.
He scored accidentally, not knowing what happened. And so they let the other team go down and score. I don't think it's anything that bad, but it's kind of shitty. I think it's kind of shitty.
It is.
And then this week they got they had another back pass that they like intercepted and went and scored. So 2 weeks, two back passes. Very strange.
Just weird. I just think, like, to me, you're a professional, and if you can't look up at who is calling for the ball, like, I don't know what you're doing. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
Take a glance.
All right. What else you got? Anything? Anything left?
No.
And that notebook
I would
of
say
yours?
MLS Fantasy, but I didn't set my lineup.
Fantasy, we're on week three. I did terrible this last week, but I still snuck up with the win. So set those lineups. It's a little harder this year with everyone playing at the same time. You can't do the old switcheroo quite as easily, which I think is probably good.
I kind of like that because some of you know who you are, were really, you know, taking advantage of a lot of the switcheroos.
Well, this year it's
and
not.
I don't like that.
Not as easy.
And now you got to be like me where you can't take advantage of anything.
Right. Now we'll all take your approach.
Yeah.
All right.
Just lose every game.
Opening day? Are you going to be there?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'll be there. If you're there, not you, Grant, you the listener, if you're there, come say hello. I will be probably at the Dublin Derby beforehand. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. And I'm looking forward to it. Make a little snow. That's okay. The cold never bothered me anyways, right?
It wouldn't be. Oh, my gosh.
Is that from Frozen?
Say it wouldn't. Yeah. That's all right. That was adorable. That was nice.
Love it. All right. Until next week. Go Loons.
Go Loons.